Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you that we can be in your house. Lord, in the book of Psalms 122, verse 1, the psalmist David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Father, I pray there will always be a joy, always be a thankfulness in our hearts with regards to coming to your house. Lord, because it is the house of the living God. It is the house of God, the God not only who created the heavens and the earth, but it's a house of the God who loved us personally and invites us to learn of His ways, that our lives will be successful, our lives will be prosperous, our lives will be blessed. Father, we thank you that we, although sinners by choice and sinners by nature, yet, Lord, in your infinite love, you draw us by your grace. And as we obey you, Lord, we are able to partake of the sweetness of fellowship. Father, I pray if there's one who in their hearts, Father, have certain things that are blocking that fellowship and relationship, I ask that you would open that heart as you open ours by your love at the cross. That Father, when we confront our sin, confront the cross, we will see the great love of God. So today, Lord, as we look at some practical implications of our relationship with you, I pray that you guide every young person who is not married but is planning to or hope to, and Father, for parents to have their eyes open, Lord, to the spiritual darkness and the evil influences that seek to destroy our children's life, and that, Lord, we will be able to use the spiritual weapons and place it in our hearts that we might impart it to our children, that they themselves, Lord, will be protected in the life to come. Lord, we can't be around forever, but you can, and your principles can. I pray that we will be able to use what you have given to help our children and our, the young people of the church as well. And Father, if there's anyone who would partake and use these principles, I pray that based on your word, Lord, they will be building their house on a strong foundation. We thank you. Bless this time. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so preliminary considerations. Just very quickly, we'll go through the summary first, all right? There's two. I would like to actually summarize it. And then for those young people, senior teens, going upward to young adults, when you face varsity, when you face work, to actually have this in your lives and hearts. Okay, some of you is like, whoa, I don't want to do this. But I guarantee you, sometimes medicine can be bitter. Now they put sugar in it to make it sweet. A little sugar makes the medicine go down. But this medicine is guaranteed by God's grace to help you to have successful courtship next time marriages, all right? So preliminary considerations, a few. I understand that desiring companionship and a relationship is the normal, biological, innate, God-given natural desire, okay? You need to understand that it's natural for young girls to be attracted to young guys and vice versa, okay? It's God-given, okay? Just like Adam, when he saw Eve, he said, whoa, man, you know, that's where you got the word woman from, right? No, I think we're still asleep, but no. But God actually put them together, and there was a natural attraction, okay? God put it in there, that's natural. And you know what, as parents, we shouldn't fight that. It's natural, it's God-given. The problem with that is that when overtaken by sin, it corrupts that relationship. And that's where the second principle comes in. I also understand, more importantly, there must be a higher principle to govern the fleshly tendencies in order to glorify God. Okay? And speaking specifically to 1 Corinthians 13, 4 and 8, I hope you are memorizing that verse and make those, I think, 11 to 13 characteristics of love to be part and parcel of your life. Love is patient, love is kind, love is long-suffering, etc. Okay? I will therefore only embark on this at the appropriate timing with the following principles in mind. Okay, number one, I will not play the field. What does playing the field mean? In other words, I don't latch onto anyone. They say, oh, I love you, or send an image, I'm attracted to you, or whatever. Okay, let's be boyfriend, girlfriend. Okay, fine. No, you don't do that. Okay, they do that in the movies. They do that. It's happening. It's amazing. It's happening everywhere. Okay, if you read the internet, this person said, after 5 days, he said, can I be your girlfriend or can I be your boyfriend? Yeah, okay. Like, it's like, why? You think, when you play police and thief? No, you're not playing police and thief. This is for life. And Satan knows it, and he uses it to damage lives. So that when a person goes through multiple so-called relationships, he finds it There's an emotional insecurity in there that makes it very hard for them to love next time. Okay, so take note of that. I will not play the field. The passage we went through in detail, I won't go through 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3 to 7. Number two, I will treat each other as brothers and sisters in the Lord, especially in the church. Okay, no other agenda. If you have any other agenda, you need to clear that with the Lord. Ask for forgiveness, Lord. I'm not ready for this. I need you to help me. Okay? I will determine to put a rein on my emotions, not your emotions, I'm sorry, my emotions. Cancel that and say my emotions. You cannot control someone else's emotions, but you can control your own. Okay, cancel that, put mine. I will determine to put a rein. That means I will control my emotions. I know sometimes it's very easy when you see someone that looks very nice, very handsome, very buff, very, hello, how are you doing? You know, it's like suddenly you get attracted to that person. You need to be careful. Anything, the moment you get attracted to a person without any thought process going through that, largely it's because of emotions. You need to be careful. Okay? So put a rein, control your emotions. Okay? Number four, I will not date. Okay, this is hard. But I will not date. Why? You will date. I was thinking through this. There are a lot of implications for this. I think Brother Aldwin actually mentioned that as well. Is dating our perspective or only biblical? I honestly believe dating is not in the scriptures for looking for a spouse. Okay? Unless you can correct me, look through the scriptures. Nowhere in the scriptures is dating even recommended. Okay? But God does put in a process because in the natural course of life, there is this marriage that needs to be governed by the scriptures in the courtship principles. Okay? So I will not date because it's a worldly thing. The world does it all the time. Okay? And they encourage it. I saw one church, those who, I don't know whether, when we first had an adventure camp, that was in 19, like, so you're not born yet. Adventure camp at St. Margaret's Primary School. I think you were there. It was so funny because we are using the premise with another church. And the church were actually having a night whereby all the guys were dressed up and the ladies were dressed up. And they would have candlelight dinner. And these are teen youth. And then some of the children, everyone like, before dinner, everyone would say, hey, go back to your bunk. We got our service or something. And it's like they're being encouraged in churches to do that. Do you know what? That is taking the things of the world and putting it in the church. And God in Exodus 30 killed 3,000 people because of that. Okay, we need to be careful when we take things of the world and put it in the church. Because God doesn't compromise with the church. And that is not the approach. Okay, so dating is, sometimes it's very hard. Surrounding that, there are many, many principles. All right, preparation principles will help you. Because when you are fully practicing the preparation principles, dating will not be in your agenda. Okay? I will grow in my relationship, my parents and my church. That is very important. You need young people, your parents, to guide you in your relationships. Because be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. You can be the sweetest girl or the most godly man. But even Samson... Of course, innately, he was already very fleshly, but you know, it just needed Delilah to pull out the words in him. And he surrendered. By the way, Samson surrendered all his spiritual privileges just because of a lady. And God destroyed. Of course, God's will was done in destroying the Philistines, but you know, even Samson's life was a waste. Okay? So, I will grow in my relationship with my parents and my church. Why my church? Because you have godly brothers and sisters to help you along. Okay? So, preparation principle, very quickly. I'm not trying to finish it fast so I can go to the next one. Preparation principle, number one, I will aim to grow in my relationship with Christ. Okay? This must be a desire. If there's no desire, you're not really... I say this, if this is not in your desire as a Christian, you will find you're not ready for any relationship. Because it's going to mess up. You'll just be adding to the statistics that will be coming. Okay? Some Christians, I've heard many times, I'm staying in this relationship, my marriage, because of my children. And my children is gone, the marriage is also gone. It should not be that way. Okay? So if you're not growing in relationship with Christ, you're not ready. You do not have God's principles to guide you in the storms. Number two, I will ensure that I'm prepared before embarking on a relationship in the courtship with a view towards marriage. Example, your age. How many of you would think 15 years old is a good time to start with a view to marriage? Put out your hand. Someone put out a hand. No. Not in Singapore, in other countries, maybe if you're a Jew, maybe. But you know, even Jews have very, very strict guidelines. The parents must be involved, etc., etc. Okay? Age, your spiritual status, your financial status. Okay? And the current will of God for me. What is God's will for you at this point, folks? Many of us, it's just to study, do your best, build up your resources in Christ and financial resources as well with the preparation. Okay, number three, I will ask the following questions of myself in seeking God's guidance in courtship. Number one, am I trusting God to provide this spouse, and this can be evidenced by my desire to be in submission to Christ in this will. If you are not in submission to your parents' will, if you're not in submission to the Lord's will in the Bible, you're not ready for marriage. Because you know why? You will bring self-will into the relationship. Very obvious. Okay? And it's a very important principle. Okay? Very important principle. I will ensure, number two, hang on. Am I presenting myself honestly, or do I seek to impress my potential friend? Do I have to put half a bottle of gel on my hair and gel my eyebrow, the kind of thing, you know? I don't think you'll do that. Or buy expensive clothing, or I need to smell good, iron my clothes like 1 hour until it burns or something like that, in order to impress. Once you have to do that, God's not guiding you. Guess who is guiding the process? Yourself. Because you need to impress that person. Okay? We need to be honest and open. I'm not saying anyhow dress or wear slippers and things. I'm not saying that. Okay? I think you know. Okay, let's not go to the extreme. There must be honesty before the person. What I see, what I get. If I can't afford a $60 meal, I can, well, bring you to Just Asia or something, like $6 with free flow of ice cream and all that. And you say, "Ee, so cheapskate one." Okay, that person is not for you. Okay, the person don't accept that. What makes you think that he will accept you as a spouse next time? Okay, so are you honest in the presentation? Do I pray sincerely for the Lord's guidance? Am I praying in the relationship? Okay? And you know what? For parents, start teaching our children to pray. Pray. And one of the encouragement I like to give to young people is pray for your future spouse. Lord, I don't know who's out there. I'm going to focus on my task. I pray you help that guy or that girl to make sure she focuses on her task so that we can grow together. All right? And I sincerely praying for God to lead us. Okay? What is my focus on the search for a spouse? Is it the character of the individual or just outward credentials? He's very rich. She's very pretty. He is the president of the student council. She is the whatever. Okay, and you use that. If outward credentials are there, you're on the wrong. You're headed towards the wrong direction. You know why? Financial credentials can change. Beauty can change. Character will not. Well, let's focus on the right things. Okay, it's my focus on the search for a spouse based on character. Now, am I willing to be patient with the process? Am I willing to wait on the Lord to keep my heart and desire in control as I seek the will of God in this matter? Just because another person says he or she likes you does not mean it's going to happen. You need to wait on God. Okay? Or someone may be chasing someone. But a person doesn't show interest, then just keep your emotions in check. Pray to God. Not all emotions and our love ought to be God. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind, all thy strength. Do everything for God. God will bring the right person at the right time. Is there an obvious, next page, is there an obvious spiritual mindedness in the process? Am I seeking God first in the relationship? Or am I seeking my own will to fulfill my social need, to fulfill my companionship? That if the person is not there, I feel my whole day is... that can happen to Sister Agnes, okay? Because she's going to get married next year. So that can happen when Song Lee is not around for 3 weeks. It should happen. I mean, that's a... Okay. You know, but if you're not involved at all, initially, you shouldn't have that kind of feeling. If you have, you have misplaced your emotions. Can I say that? You have misplaced your emotions. Your emotions must be on God. and his priorities. Okay, I'm saying that so that she can be prepared, because Song Lin is going to leave for 3 weeks to Taiwan. Okay, so pray for her. And you know, as a church, we need to be mature enough to support that kind of thing. But if you're not engaged or you're not going to be married, keep your emotions in check. It belongs to the Lord until God makes it clear that's the person. Okay. Next one is, is God in every step of the process, in the courtship process? Okay, is God in every step of the courtship process? All right, in other words, you're praying, you're thinking through, you're not committing until you're very sure. Because, put it this way, what is 3 years of waiting with the best one that God put you for the rest of your life? Because some people can't wait. Must be now. Well, if it must be now, remember, sin is pleasure for a season. Okay, and Satan always, see, marriage can be wonderful, but because of our own will, we often short-circuit that and spoil the whole process by our own will. Okay, so it's got, am I ready for new roles? Am I ready to take care of someone else? Very simple indication whether you are prepared. Nah? Are you willing to do housework at home? Are you willing to do someone else's project? Are you willing to... are you cognizant? Are you aware that another person is in need right now? Or are you only concerned about yourself? If you're only concerned about yourself, you're not ready. Because one of the questions I ask the people in premarital counseling is, are you prepared to give up your single life? If you're not prepared to give up a single life, you're not ready. Okay? And the preparation for that... You know, if you're growing as a Christian, serving others, if your mindset is always serving people, serving others, you're ready. Okay, I'm not saying that, oh, I'm serving others now, I'm 13 years old, so I can. No, I'm not saying that. But if your attitude is towards concern for other people, consideration of others, because when you actually get into a relationship, both of them need to watch out for one another spiritually. And remember, in the relationship, it's always to bless the other person, not yourself. Okay? And when you... Can you imagine if both are thinking of each other and helping one another, both are blessed at the same time? Right? That's the principle there. Okay? So, am I prepared to allow God to overrule? In other words, it could be the sweetest girl in all the earth. It could be Miss Universe for all I care. But if that person is not a Christian, and say, God, she's so pretty and she says she loves me, but she's not a Christian. God, maybe I just try and after that, don't presume upon God. That is a sin. Okay, that is a sin. And one thing I want to say, did you know that in the Old Testament, a sin of, you know, it's a sin of presumption. You know what's presumption? You just kind of assume that God will forgive, even though you choose to do wrong. Can I say in the Old Testament, there is no sacrifice for the sin of presumption? It is judgment, because God expects us to know what's right to do and do it. But when you know what is right to do and don't do it, presuming, oh, God is going to forgive me. We are presuming upon God. To be clear, in the New Testament, when you confess that sin, in all honesty, willing to forsake, God can. When you confess your sin, God is willing to forgive. But if you won't forsake that sin, God will judge. Okay, so please understand this. All right, don't think that. I know one of the things I was listening to messages which reinforced with me, a plain obedience to God's word, and God will deal with sin. Please don't try him. Because when God when you try God, you will regret it, because he will always win. Not because he wants to, but because as our heavenly, loving Heavenly Father, he has to judge sin to show us he is serious. Because when we do what is right, then we will grow. When we do what is wrong, then we will actually be perverse. Okay? So am I ready to allow God to overrule? If you're in relationships right now, you need to be willing, say, God, sounds like my relationship may not be godly. God, I'm sorry. I'm allowing you to overrule. Give me wisdom, Lord, to disengage if you need to. Okay? Do you know why it's hard to disengage? Some people, I just want to touch on this. When two persons are in a relationship and they know it's not God's will, guess what? When they separate, there's pain. Do you know why? They started wrongly. They got engaged emotionally before they should. And you know, that actually leaves a scar. And that's why God wants us to learn to give our hearts to Him first. That's why fathers, we need to have our daughters' hearts first, to to love them, so that when they leave, Dad gives the girl away with his blessing, and the daughter knows that it is not breaking up with the dad. It's actually adding someone else to bless the whole relationship. Does that make sense? I mean, this is a practical way of looking at it. Alright? So, but I'll say this. No sense living in sin if you are there. Honor God. Okay? Okay, point number four, very quickly. I will ask the following questions of the potential spouse in seeking the Lord's guidance. Am I attracted to this person? Okay, you ask why. Is the person in question clearly in love with the Lord Jesus Christ? If the person doesn't love Jesus, you're wasting your time. You are wasting your time. Okay? You are investing a lot of time, effort in someone who doesn't encourage you towards Jesus Christ. You are wasting your time. Alright? Is their Christian character honoring to the Lord and encouraging towards other believers? Is there a genuine Christian service and attitude in following God? Is the person genuinely wanting to follow God? Alright, so these are things I'll ask of the potential spouse. Number five, general relationship questions. Is there a growing appreciation of the other person's personality and ways? Is there a genuine fondness coupled with a readiness to share, listen, please trust and help the other person? Is there an unusual openness to accept correction and to take account of the other person? Is there a desire to serve the Lord, share the Lord's service with the person? And this is more than the makings of a situation in which the other person could be described as your best and closest friend in the world. You can share anything with this person and you know this person will trust you, will not judge you, instead will provoke you to love and to good works. Okay? Does that make sense? I put two verses there. Trust God with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In this world of fleshly living, it's very easy to just follow the things of the world, ways of the world. Or this guy is putting so much attention on me, and girls like that. You know why? Ladies, you're looking for love. And that's what God put that in you, love. And husbands will do well to understand that need. But for guys, you're looking for... You know why guys want to get involved in relationships? So that people can see, I got someone hanging off my hand. I've got someone, it boosts my ego. If that is the reason that you're involved in a relationship, so everyone would like me one, you know. You know, how many of you remember who is Arthur Fonzarelli? Arthur Fonzarelli, no one knows? Okay, he's one guy, Fonzie. In 1970s and 80s, Fonzie, he would just click and girls would come in his arms. There's a worldly. So the mind frame of the man has been, you know, more girls that like you, you know, it shows that you are gung ho, you know. That's not God's will. That's the world's idea. And sometimes being involved in relationship, when you see other people in relationships, there's a pressure for you to want too. Right? But if you know it's not good for you or it's not ready for you, then you need to be in check with your emotions. Okay? Any questions? Any questions? Hopefully this will help. Parents, just pray through with your child and you know, in order for you to have a successful future, you need to work with your parents, children. Okay? And you know, I honestly, as pastor, my goal is actually to give you all the information you need and put the signposts. But, you know, the way that you make this happen is when you cooperate with each other. Especially in the family and with the church people and the youth leaders who care and love. I know Brother Desmond and Sir Jamie and Jacob and all that, we've touched on this before, but I think opening up a little bit more in this area. Okay, the goal is every young person here, when you get married next time, it will be a successful Christian marriage. Amen. You know, everyone in the church, parents need to pray towards that our children will have a successful Christian marriage. Successful doesn't mean no problems, okay? It does mean, though, you have the proper guidance. Okay, there are some notes behind and in front. Okay, so we just finished the first one. So, the lesson summary on successful courtship marriage. Any questions? Those who are older in the faith, those who are married, I'm not saying this is complete. You may have also points. What I'd like to do is hopefully over time to actually write this out. It's actually written out already. There could be actually pamphlets as handouts for our church where people have questions to ask. Young people, you can use this as checklists. And by the way, All this, especially those questions, must be a yes. Very simple for you. You just have to tick. Am I growing in Christ? Yes. Am I trusting the Lord to provide? Yes. Am I presenting myself honestly? Yes. Am I praying sincerely? Yes. Is my focus a search for the character of the individual? Yes. Am I willing to be patient prophets? Yes. Is there obvious spiritual minor in the process? Yes. Am I open to counsel from others? Yes. Is God in every step of the process? Yes. Am I ready for new roles? Yes. Am I prepared to allow God over? Yes. Once it's all yes, free to go. Yeah, good to go. Yes. Ready. Okay.
Ready. So in the American context, I mean, for some of them, because even the age, it's like they come out of college, 20 years old,
they get married.
They don't have a job yet, but they get married, and then so on.
Okay.
But in Singapore, is there a difference? You need to first be stable in your career first, get a flat, so on and so forth.
Okay. That's a hard question. Actually, for me, it's a simple question. The Lord Jesus Christ mentioned in John chapter 14, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Okay? Now, seems to me, the Lord Jesus Christ, even though it's a Jewish cultural thing, and I believe biblical principle is important for us, for a man to be willing to take a wife, you have to show yourself financially able to take care of your wife. When the Lord Jesus Christ said, I go away, prepare a place for you, in John chapter 14, it's like, in my father's house are many mansions. The word mansions refers to, how many of you, what do you think of when you think of mansions? Sister Shaolin, in my father's house are many mansions. Brother Joshua, what's the word mansions?
Villa.
Villa, okay. So, well, that means, sorry Lydia, it's 5-room flat. No. Interestingly, the word mansions means rooms. In the Jewish culture, the marriage is they will actually have, once the betrothal has actually started, the man will go back to his house and the father will set aside a room for the spouse. And he has to prepare that place properly, okay, before he goes and receives his wife back in. So the idea of principle is actually financial preparation so that you can take care of your spouse, okay? So that is, I don't see that as cultural, because I believe the Lord Jesus, biblical principle, men to be responsible enough to take care of your wife, you need to be hardworking. I'm not saying that a person will need to earn a 5-figure salary and really have a nice house and not get married. I'm not saying that. But if there is, the person is diligent, he's working, of course then the character and the lady says, look, I love that man and he's hardworking, he's providing for me. So how much does culture come into place? We need to be careful. We need to be careful because I'm drawing from the context of this financial area only, not the others. Okay, because culture, I don't think have much to offer us as Christians. But the financial, I'm looking at this from a practical perspective. Okay, yeah.
So when you say the financial, doesn't mean that they must have a certain amount.
Oh, no.
So if this person is fresh out of school, but he demonstrates a willingness to work hard, his diligent, his character, even though he may not have anything yet, but he is a person of character, work hard, would that qualify him as someone who is financially able?
Okay. The lady might actually, would that qualify him? Okay, this is, I think, a process question. Number one, firstly, you need to bypass each other, meaning the guy and the girl, number one. Number two, you need to bypass the parents. And then you need to also work with the pastor so that counsel can be given. I think you actually have to be very specific. But if the man is godly and is willing to follow counsel, he has nothing to say, don't worry, pastor, we're planning for 2 years' time or something like that. And so he can start working towards that. I think I'm just looking at it from a practical perspective. Does it qualify him? I believe his character of heart, being hardworking already qualifies him. And the lady who is, obviously after fresh out of school doesn't mean straight away get married because you know him yesterday. You know? I'm sure there has to be a process of understanding and knowing the person. So, and this is important on the preparation. So Does that answer your question? So that means if at Fresh Out, he's nothing but he's willing to work to it, open to council, we work 2 or 3 years, we gather the resources so that we can actually... Okay.
Is it a quantity in terms of, is it real value to it, or is it more of someone who has an attitude to, okay, I want to work hard?
I believe it'll be a both. I believe we should actually wisely consider both. Okay. Firstly, I think if a person is hardworking, the Bible says if you will reap what you sow. Once you work hard, you will actually get the gain. Okay, and if your mind is on marriage, you will definitely work hard for your spouse because you need to care for him. So that's one character part. Okay, if you want to put a weightage, which is more important, I would say the character. This is my wisdom, or my wisdom, the wisdom of the situation whereby I believe that if a person is willing to work hard, there'll be no shortage in the family. And that's a pioneer generation, right? Amen? our pioneers in Singapore didn't have much, but they're willing to work hard. They're willing to work very, very hard, even though they have little. Okay, I think that is one thing that we can go by. Having said that, maybe very clear that the character quality of hardworkingness is more important than having how much in your bank, if that's what you're asking. Whether or you must reserve $20,000 before I can marry you, that kind of thing. I think that is out of the question. That is not even in the Bible. But the person is willing to work hard to provide, yes, that would be the qualifier. Yeah. Okay. I know one of the pastors in Singapore only had $400. Rather, his wedding was $400. And they're still serving the Lord today. Pastor Jacob Tan. He didn't have much. Rejected by his family for his faith. Now you know him. It's a blessing. That's why the spiritual foundation is important. And when we learn to trust God, and Pastor Jacob Tan, you know him, he works very hard. I mean, in his ministry and all that. So, family has no shortage because God provides and he trusts God all the way and his wife is willing to trust God. So I think that's where God's principles when embedded will give us a firm foundation. God provides every need. Amen. He will provide every need, but our heart must be on him first. Yeah. So even this, I think it's just a practical way of looking at the person. If a person is just sitting at home, don't daydream and just kind of don't want to do anything, then I think the person has to take a back seat and say, yeah, we've actually seen this before in a couple, and this couple, the wife is always working. This man cannot hold down a job, and it is no wonder that after a few years, the wife says, "Forget it, I'm not going to live with this man. You don't even want to take care of the house, don't even want to provide." Praise God! After the separation, he woke up his idea. Now he's trying to hold down a job, but it's too late. Can you see why character is so important? We need to work, okay? And work is part and parcel of God's plan for us. Yeah, so I fully agree. I know the direction you're trying to say. So don't be discouraged if you don't have $1 million in your bank. It doesn't mean, okay? But you know what? Develop that quality. And if you're willing to work, God will provide, okay? And ladies, please don't look at guys and say, "This guy, don't know, nothing short of 50,000 for my wedding. You cannot fall under." Some people actually put that in. That's also wrong. I think for the men, you probably have to look elsewhere. Okay. Any questions? Any questions? Okay, I hope that actually helps. Hopefully, we will have successful families. Okay, we're not finished yet. So let's look at our new one today, Biblical Guidance on Loyalty to the Local Church. Okay. We have two more. This one on Lord, and how, lastly, this is important because many times we deal with our personal issues, largely finances, wealth, looking, courtship, and things like this. But you know what? We also need to be aware of what God wants us to do in the church. Huh? It's behind. I think there's some. Does everyone have? I think I printed 40. It should be enough. I hope it is enough. Okay, don't have this. Okay, we're going to look at loyalty to the local church. Okay, something that very, very important in this day and age. Why the need for this guidance? I'll just start off. There are three reasons why. Number one, the three reasons why we need to study this is because, number one, there's poor understanding of the local church today. And I put at the side universalism. What does that mean? Universalism originated actually not in the Bible, it originated in Romans, during the Roman Catholic time. Okay, Catholic means universal church, worldwide, Catholic. Okay, so the Roman Catholic Church, that's why the Pope is the head of the Catholic Church throughout the world. Okay, he's the vicar of Christ, the representative of Christ. And it's interesting, when he speaks this thing called ex cathedra, meaning that he speaks in the place of Christ. And so if the Pope says ex cathedra, no abortion, all the Catholic churches is as if God speaks. All right? And it's interesting, Jesus says, call no man father upon the earth. Maybe the Lord Jesus is just directing that as well. Okay? Poor understanding of the local church is said also for many Christians, especially today, to fail to understand the local nature of the church. They believe that this church is a universal church, and therefore I can just move in and out of any church I like, and that's okay. Okay? The Protestants teach that a lot. They believe that the church is Catholic, meaning that it's Rome, because many of all the denominations came out from the Catholic Church. And so it's embedded in their thinking with regards to church. All right? If you don't take teaching plainly from the scriptures, it's a very attractive doctrine. You know why? If I don't really like this church, I just go to another church. If I don't like the pastor, I just go to another church. And I'm convinced many years ago that this teaching encourages unfaithfulness to the Lord's work. We need to be careful, number one. Poor understanding. Number two, some believe that loyalty or commitment to a particular church is restrictive, is legalistic. Some people believe that. Okay? And number three, sadly, many base their choice of the choice. Many base their choice of a church. Sorry, not a choice. Okay, help me to just cancel out. Choice of a church based on personal and material reasons more than biblical reasons. What do I say that? Personal means, oh, I'm going to be moving, therefore, or rather, oh, I like this church because it's more smaller, I've got more time, or I need to be moving to another place, so they won't even consider loyalty to a church, you know? And they'll say, oh, I just have to move. Practically, my promotion is dependent on this, and therefore, materially, this place is much better. So the decisions is not based on the biblical perspective, but more on material and personal reasons. Okay? Two truths for the balanced Christian life, just to remind us, we talked about it in March. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's for Him alone we are to live for. Number two, to live a balanced, God-honoring Christian life is to live by what the Bible says. Okay? Anything short of that is not a Bible reason. If not a Bible reason, it's not a scriptural reason. If it's not a scriptural reason, it's not a God-given reason. And as a believer in Christ who believes the Bible, we have no business participating in that kind of thinking. Okay? To start with, I just want to clarify some of the things, and I'm strictly going to scripture. All the verses are printed there. All right? I'll try to finish it today. And next week, we'll talk about some wrong motives for leaving church. Okay? Some wrong loyalties to church. And when is our loyalty challenged to the point that we have to leave even a sound church? Alright? Next week we'll talk about it. But this week, let's look at the doctrine of the local church. Okay? Please stop me if there's any problems or any questions. The local church, for those in the new believers class who have seen this, and the definition of local church. It is an organized assembly of regenerated, immersed believers banded together, having New Testament offices of pastor and deacons, practicing New Testament ordinances of the Lord's Supper and baptism, and actively carrying out the Great Commission. Okay? Every adjective in that definition is important. It's organized, it's an assembly, it's regenerated, it's immersed, it's banded together, it has New Testament officers, pastors, and deacons. It practices New Testament ordinances with Lord's Supper and baptism, and is actively carrying out the Great Commission. That is the definition of your local church. Okay, in our church, one thing is missing. We haven't got deacons yet. Okay, but there's a process that we can actually, and we will probably have to think about that seriously. The man is already thinking along those lines. So the doctrine of local church. Okay, let's look at the following verses. Number one, Matthew 16:18. Let's read together. Ready? One, two, go. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Number one, the Lord Jesus. What the church? Built the church. The word church there in the Greek means ecclesia. It is actually a representative form. Okay? In other words, I am going to build my churches. I will build my church, ecclesia, as a representation of the many churches that's going to come. Okay? So Lord Jesus Christ actually started, when new members, class, graduates, when did the Lord started the church? When was the church built? Started. Sorry? When was the church built? After the resurrection, anyone else? Sorry? Calling of the 12? Okay, anyone else? Okay, the local church started in the Gospels. Jesus himself started the first church. He was the first pastor. He administered the Lord's Supper. He had the Great Commission. In other words, the church was already in its starting point in the local church, during the Gospels. Okay, things were happening. There was baptism. All right, not by himself, but John the Baptist, but he was added. Okay, then the Lord's Supper. Then there were evangelism. There was discipleship, all happening at the same time. The Lord Jesus was giving a model that the New Testament apostles were following after that. Okay, and after the resurrection, please get this, at the day of Pentecost, the church was already there. Yes, there's 120 of them. The day of Pentecost, when God empowered the church with coming the Holy Spirit. That was why, you know, many Pentecostals and many charismatic teaching, they believe that, oh, you need to wait for the promise of the Father. In the context of what Jesus is saying, when Jesus was on earth, he was the power. Okay, he was the power given. The Bible says in the book of Luke chapter 9, I believe, I give unto you power over serpents and scorpions, over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you, Jesus said to the disciples. Okay? But when Jesus was going to leave, humans cannot do spiritual work, and therefore in the last book of Luke chapter 24, Jesus says, but tarry ye in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. The endowment of power, the giving of power, happened at the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came to empower the church. Up to today, the Holy Spirit is still with the local church. That's why you see people converting to Christ today, up to today, okay? As long as we remain in the Word. So the Lord Jesus Christ built the church, number one. Number two, the Lord Jesus Christ is the? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, not Pastor Johnny. The Lord Jesus Christ is the head of this church. Your loyalty and my loyalty is not to a man, it's to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you are loyal to Ambassador Baptist Church, you are loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the head, not me. It's just that I'm put in this position. I'm an under-shepherd, carrying out the executive, carrying out the desires of the head. Okay? Yes. Yeah. Yes. Why must a Christian join the church? Okay, why must a Christian join the church? Okay, let me start a little bit back. In order to become a Christian, what do? We need to be born again. Okay, right? When we trust Christ, we become born into the family of God. All right? When we're added to the local church, number one, there's God's will in the New Testament. Okay? There's God's will in the New Testament. Number two, the Lord Jesus Christ says, I will build my church. And for a Christian to honor the Lord, he must be part and parcel of the local church. If you look at let's look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. Okay, after this I'll talk about it again, but I'll just share this. That's an interesting question, because sometimes we take for granted, you know, as a Christian. Some Christians say, why should I join a local church? I don't have to join a church, you know. I'm a Christian. But, you know, in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, the Bible says, Then they gladly received his word, were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. The Bible says they were gladly baptized, and the word "and" there is interesting. It's actually a cumulative word, meaning that I baptize, I'm added to the church. I sign the contract, I become an employee of the company. Does it make sense? It's automatically added to the church because that is God's will. That's why when we get baptized, church membership is actually the logical joining point. You are a member of a church. Because that's God's will. Because God's plan for this day and age is the local church. No other plan. There's no other plan in the New Testament. That's why every Christian must be in the local church. In fact, it is a sin if you know the truth and don't do it. When you know the Lord's will and don't do it, that's a sin. Okay? Because, of course, if you're actively working towards that, God knows your heart. God will help you in the process. I know some of us are deciding, wanting to be baptized, so I don't want to discourage you there. But if there's no desire whatsoever to join the church, there's something wrong, because that's God's will. In fact, in the Great Commission, what does the Great Commission say? Go ye therefore, teach all nations, what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It's part of the Great Commission. And joining the church is just part of obedience to God. And I secretly believe, not secretly, I believe that a person who doesn't want to join the church, you need to really check whether you want to be obedient to the Lord. Because a Christian would naturally want to obey God. There was no problem with anyone in the Bible getting baptized, right? When Cornelius, when Lydia, she was baptized too. But the one in the Bible, when God opened, she was baptized. When the Filipino jailer, remember? Not Filipino. The Philippian jailer, Acts chapter 16. Ethiopian eunuch, what does hinder me to be baptized? They know that. In fact, I want to be identified with Christ, so I get baptized, and then after that, joining the church. Okay? And so, just a simple question. We need to join the church as a Christian because that's God's will. That's God's will. Okay? Anyone who doesn't want to join, there's a serious, serious question mark on whether or not he truly wants to follow the Lord. That's why baptism is the first step of obedience to Christ. And then added to the church, where God continuously then use you to grow. In fact, the church is so important that did you know that from 1 Corinthians onwards, Romans onwards, all the way to the end, it's all talking about the local church. Instructions to the local church, how to live in the local church, what's going to happen to the local church, all the way. Okay? Two things in the New Testament, the Gospels, how to get saved, and how to live life in the local church. Okay? Does that answer your question? Yes? Okay, let's move on. All right. Christ is here. Number three, the Lord Jesus Christ loves the church. The Bible says, husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Do you realize in our relationship to Christ when we are in the church, Christ loved every one of us? Because the church is an assembly. Number four, Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. The Lord Jesus Christ died for the church. Let me just see. I think I have a wrong one. Okay. The Lord Jesus Christ died for the church. I don't know about you, that's very precious. The Lord Jesus died for this assembly. He died for Ambassador Baptist Church. Everyone who will be added to it. Does that not help us to be clear in our loyalty? Say, Lord, if you died for me and put me here, Lord, there's something special to me. Our Savior died for the church. Point number five, the Lord Jesus commissioned the church. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. What do you mean by commission? If you read the verse just before 18, Jesus says, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. You know what that means? All power means I have all spiritual authority on me. Go ye therefore. When the soldiers here go to war, it is upon the direction of the president. You have authority to fight, to kill, in order to defend the nation. You are commissioned to fight the war. When Jesus gave us this authority, and then to go out, sometimes today people miss that totally. Churches don't teach that anymore. If you look at the implication, when Jesus says, all power is given to me, in other words, all spiritual authority from heaven is mine. Jesus says, go ye therefore, is a commission, is a specific authority from heaven as a church that we go out to win souls for Christ. Okay? It's very, very important for us to understand that. Okay, point number six, the Lord Jesus Christ promised His presence with the church, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age, the world. Okay, the Lord Jesus promised His presence in the church. In 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the Lord Jesus is coming for His church. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and voice of archangel, and trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Paul writing to the church at Thessalonians. The Lord Jesus is coming for His church. Point number eight, the local church is known as a body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. The Bible teaching is Christ, the body of Christ, is church. It's a local church. The Greek word is soma. Soma simply means a body. Okay? Now, I've used this before. Maybe Brother Henry, can you help me? Okay, just stand and face them. Oh, don't be afraid. Okay. So, if I did it before. Is his eyes closing? No, not painful. Okay, I need to get someone else. Never mind, sit down. Okay, I had recently I had the blessing of helping another guy who came over to our place. It was painful because he was doing CrossFit and doing all his trainings, and it was all of a sudden. And so he said, "Wow, I got pain here and here and here." And so once I touch him, he will jump. Okay, I always use the illustration: when you touch one part of the body, why does the other parts of your body jump? Do you know what I mean? Yeah, who would be a good example? Sean, maybe? No? No. Okay, Michelle. No, don't like that. Okay, thank you. Why is it when I poke here, he will move? Because the body... Sorry? What? Okay, yeah, no. He wasn't expecting, right? So when you poke here, why the whole body move? Scared of? Pa yang. Pa yang, scared, being tickled, right? Yeah. So, that's why the question is, if I poke here, then this part should respond only one. Why does your hand move, and his hand move, and his mouth must open and shout at me? Because the body is interrelated. We have to, why if I go and step on Uncle Henry, then he will shout, yeah! How come I step the foot, the mouth open, the mouth, why? Because we are interrelated. We have to understand the local church is an interrelated body. We have many members. Okay? And after we talk about this a little bit more, very quickly, the local church is known as a body of Christ. We have many members. And many members do different things. Okay? And it's very important for us to understand that. Okay, I'll keep moving on because all these are quite interrelated points. In point number nine, the local church is indwelt by the presence of Christ. Wow, that's a powerful one. Look at 1 Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is a church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. Raj Joshua, you have a house, right? You have a house, right? What happens to you? What's the purpose of a house? To stay, right? When the Bible says the church is the house of the living God, where do you think God lives? Where do you think God lives? Yeah. He's omnipresent, yes, I know. But it's interesting, but God still has a house. Because the Bible says it's the house of the living God. Which implies every time we gather in His name, He dwells with us. Every single time. When we are here, Jesus is here too. Think about that. When we are here, Jesus is here too. This doctrine ought to sink into our hearts with regards to loyalty to the local church. Remember, Jesus is the head, not Pastor Johnny, none of the men, no one of us. Jesus is the head. And this is an important understanding we need to have. Because sometimes it's very hard to get through to new Christians or Christians in general who may be burned at different churches or they don't see the need to be joined to a church, they say, well, God is everywhere. Yes, He is, but God has a church. He does have a church. And the local church is indwelt by the presence of Christ. And this is a very, very wonderful truth. Point number 10, the local church is ordained by Christ to be the pillar and the ground of the truth. What does a pillar do? It supports. The local church, every single one of us, through our teaching and our lives, support the truth of Christ. Does it make sense? The local church, every one of us, through our teaching and our life, support the truth of Christ. So there are some churches who don't live for Christ, who are worldly-minded, who doesn't teach, maybe who deny the virgin birth of Christ. There are some churches who do that. They don't support the truth of Christ. But God says the original intention is for the local church to support by teaching and life the life of Christ and the truth of Christ. Does it make sense? That's why we hold up the Bible in high esteem, because this is God's manual for church life, for life itself. And every one of us, as this word goes into our lives, we become the supporting pillars and say, this is true. Let every man be a liar. God is true. Okay? The local church is a place for the pillar of truth. Point number 11. In 1 Corinthians 12:18, but God now set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased Him. The word set has the idea in the Greek of appointed. God appoints people to be in the local church for particular reasons and purposes. Your membership in Ambassador Baptist Church has a purpose and a reason. It's our job, my job as pastor, as I teach, and your job as members, to find that reason so that we can work together. Some of us have been comfortable in certain ministry positions and you are anchoring that. And God will call more people to anchor different things as well. Brother Desmond and Sister Jamie anchors the youth. That's God's purpose for them. They do a good job of that. People who go tracking, some people are in charge, they anchor that. Sister Shaoling anchors the FBI. Through her, many of God's blessings can come through. All right, some of the youth do different things in our local church as well. The treasurer, the president, the secretary, they all have different roles so that the God's church can function effectively and efficiently forward. All right? And so we're all appointed for a particular purpose. Our job is to find that. Okay? When God sets us in a sound church, it is a divine appointment, and we must honor and respect that with all our strength. When God puts us in a local church, do all we can to honor God in that position. Point number 12, God made it such that the local church, the members itself, is interdependent so that every part is important. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 14 says, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, am I therefore not the body? Is it therefore not the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, and I am not the body, is it therefore not the body? The whole body were the eye, where were the hearing? I remember my pastor saying in Australia when he taught, can you imagine the church as one big gigantic eye? Just close your eyes and visualize that. This big gigantic eye. Some of us, when we know the eye is used for seeing. Can you imagine if you go to a hawker center and then your eye sees the fried chicken? I know some of you like fried chicken, right? Yes? And you see, it's not just fried chicken, it's prawn paste fried chicken. Okay, it's not just that, it's actually special. Okay, I don't know any wonderful places, but your eyes see that, and your eyes say, I like the prawn paste chicken, and I'm going to get the chicken. Can the eye get the chicken? Can the eye eat the chicken? No. The eye has to say, hand, can you help me? Can the hand eat the chicken? No, the hand has to say, can the mouth, can you help me? And if the chicken go in, is this a mouth? Tongue, can you help me? And then after that, and saliva, can you help me? Esophagus, can you help me? Stomach, can you help me? Big, large first, right? So small intestines first. Small intestine, can you help me? Large intestine, can you help me? And the rest is history. Can you see the different parts of the body is actually involved in one thing? I think one wonderful example is always the VBS, a worship service, tracting. Different people are doing different things in the youth group, youth camp. Different bodies doing, different parts of the body of Christ doing different things. God made it such that everyone has a place and a role to play. I'm not preaching SG50, okay? It's a part for everyone. It's a part for everyone. But you know what? All the more in the local church, all of us has a role and a part. Every member is important. Every member is important. God made it such a way. Verse 13, God desires that the local church grow together. Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto edifying of itself in love. I love to use this illustration. You know, when I was studying the body, especially the hand, do you realize when you close your, you just clench your fist? Do you know what actually happens when you clench your fist? If you put it this way, you clench your fist. We were taught, and which is true, the hand, the muscles move in an opposing manner, meaning muscles here contract, the other side has to relax. Okay? Or they have to contract isometrically. If you look at this, what happens when I want to form my fingers into a grip. So I grip. What actually happens to the wrist? Do you realize the wrist actually have to extend? It actually has to extend. Okay? Now, bend your hand a bit and try to clench your... Is it easy? To clench all the way and try to have some strength versus this way. Which is stronger? This way or this way? This way, right? Do you know why? Because it's called synergistic movement in a hand. In order for you to have maximum power, here, the wrist has to automatically extend so that the amount of pull. If I do it here, my flexors only have very limited, because it's very slack. But if I pull it more, it has a longer range to go, increasing its power. So which means, in a church, if we need power with God, and as we pray, and the member starts moving in different parts, we have maximum power. Okay? But if we want God to move, but some parts refuse to move, we still have power, some, but we lose our power. This is the whole meaning of Ephesians 4:16. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth. In other words, in every joint there's a purpose, and every joint needs to move in unison. You know, I watch with wonder our Black Knights, how they could form. I mean, there was one time, I think they kind of crisscross, right? You know how much training that needs, how much teamwork, how much coordination that needs. And to fly the 50 formation, the number 50 in the sky, everyone needs to be exactly where it was. Can you imagine, there's fine and sunny, there's one plane that's out. Everyone should take photo and the next day show front page picture. And the person probably get an emotion. Can you imagine the number 50 in the sky as the Black Knights fly? Is it Black Knights? So they fly past. Everyone has to be exactly in that position in order for the audience to see the number 50 fly past. Why do we think God's church can function? Why do we have the thought, it's okay if I'm not here, Lord? You can go on. Right? God intends that we realize something will be missing if we're not here. Okay? And sometimes people, oh, you can do it, no problem, you can do it one. Whenever someone has to do extra, it increases the burden, lessens the joy, and increases tiredness that causes the devil to attack. Okay? God desires us to grow together, working together. Point number 14, the Lord Jesus desires unity in the local church. He desires unity in the local church, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The Lord Jesus desires love in the local church. The new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one to another. In verse 16, the Lord Jesus desires us to serve each other in the local church. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. It's an active word. Okay? So in this 16 teaching that I tried to just give you a verse and a very specific thing about the local church, the teaching of the local church. I want two thoughts for loyalty to local church before we finish. 1 Corinthians 12:24, the Bible says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. I want to highlight two points for us as Christians to encourage us to think on this whole area of loyalty. Okay? Number one, we are the body of Christ. Do you know what that means? We are the body of Christ. We are the physical representation of Christ in this world. We are the physical representation of Christ in this world. Would you agree with that? If it's so, it follows that we are to treat this representation with utmost respect and fear. When you are in your school uniform, some of you, you will not dare to do certain things or go to certain places, right? You wouldn't dare to go to certain places. You want to go to an amusement center, you got to change your uniform. Otherwise, they won't let you in. If you're in a pub with your uniform, what would the people think? Hey, what school are you from? First question, what school are you from? Because you shame your school. When you're in another country to represent your school or country, whatever you do, you will affect the name of the country. Oh, you Singaporeans, ah. You know, those people who come from overseas, and certain group have certain culture and certain reputation now in certain group. Why? It reflects the. You reflect your God. Example is the swimmer in Joseph Schooling. You know Joseph Schooling. Yeah, he won gold, but you know what? Prior to that, he was involved in some drinking. All that was a big problem. Why? Because for us, it's hey, you represent Singapore. At least behave yourself, lah. You know. We are representatives of Christ. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:20. It's in the verse there, right? 2 Corinthians 5:20, is it over there? Yes? Okay. Let's read together. Ready? One, two, go. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Stop there. Sorry. Now then, we are ambassadors. Ambassador Baptist Church. The word ambassador in the Greek means an official representative for Christ. And as a church, we are official representatives for Christ. When we serve the world and reach the world, we are representatives of Christ to reach the world. When we fail in our duty, we actually fail Him. Just like if an ambassador at large, an ambassador to the U.S. for Singapore shirked in his duty. I remember, I think it was a Romanian ambassador, right, who knocked down some of us, one, I think a few of our Singaporean people. Immediately, we appeal to the Roman government. Hey, what's happening? Not Roman government, the Romanian government. Roman government. Hey, what's happening? How come your ambassador like that one? Straight away. Why? Because, of course, he did not. I think he passed away, if not wrong. Passed away. So, when we fail in our duty as Christians, as a church, we actually fail Christ. Does that make sense? Okay? So, that's one. Point number two, there is life in the local church. And we are the living parts of it. In 1 Peter 2:5, ye also as lively stones, the word lively means living, having life in yourself, are built up in a spiritual house. What do you think Peter is referring to? The church. You're built up into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices which are acceptable to the Lord. Okay? And Peter is just telling the Jewish Christians, look, you guys are all living stones. You are put together to honor the Lord. Okay? And one pastor put it this way. How many of us are against abortion? Put your hand. It's murder, right? We are against abortion. When life is killed, we are appalled and we are angry. But this pastor then applied this. Yet, do we not, by our indifference towards the life of the local church, our disloyalty to the church, take away the very life of the local church which we should be contributing to. Because the church is a living organism. If it's not a living organism, people won't be trusting Christ through ambassador. When we reach out in VBS, youth camp, etc., or attracting every Wednesday, when we are there and contribute, we're contributing to life. to them in life in the local church as well. Why? Because we are actively doing what God tells us to do, which the body is supposed to do. And when we are indifferent towards it, we're indifferent towards some of the programs of it, we're actually taking away the very life that God wants to inject through us as living members of the local church. Okay? Now, I know some of us may, by our own duties and responsibilities, our work and other responsibilities, may not be able to participate. I understand that. But it's not that we're talking about. It's when we have the opportunity to do so, do we do so? Or we replace it with something of less spiritual importance. When a lone stone is missing, there is a hole in the building. How many of you will agree? If let's say, all these are actually bricks, right? If one brick is missing, what will happen to this structure? You're weak. And over time, the whole weight will collapse. Remember Hotel New World? Some of you know the story of Hotel New World, built with, designed by an architect who was not qualified as an architect, and the materials used was much, the pillars built were much, much substandard. It's not able to actually stand the weight of the whole building. So the whole building, one time it collapsed, the whole thing came down. And it killed many people as well. Alright? So when the lone stone is missing, there's a hole in the building. Okay? Hopefully, understanding we are the representative of Christ, and when we don't contribute to the life of the church, we are actually sapping life from it, we'll understand why there is a need to be loyal and to be faithful to the local church. Okay? And when we're faithful to the things that God wants us to be faithful in, God blesses us and our families. Okay? So, any questions? Next week, we will talk about wrong motives for leaving the church, wrong loyalty to a local church, and wrong loyalty to a local church. When loyalty to a local church is challenged. Right? I just want to finish off with one thing. The principles that govern our jobs, our marriages, our families are all spiritual principles, and more so the spiritual church of the living God. In Ephesians 5:22, I just read, "Wives, submit yourself unto your husband as unto the Lord." Okay? Ephesians 6 verse 5, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in singleness of a heart, as unto Christ." Ephesians 6 verse 6, "Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." Ephesians 6 verse 7, "With good will doing service as to the Lord, not to men." So when we are loyal to the local church, we are in effect loyal to Christ. I said that very clearly as your pastor. You are not loyal to Pastor Joy, you are loyal to Jesus Christ. In every program, activity, everything that this church stands for, when you represent it together collectively with brothers and sisters, we are being loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a very important principle because there's a survey in the States, okay? This is to say, out of 10 people, 7 of them don't mind just changing church. Ignoring the plain biblical teaching, when God actually appoints you to a church, you are responsible, and God wants us to be faithful so we can grow together with each other. 7 out of 10 says, "I have no qualms leaving my church." That's scary. And I hope it is not in your heart. Because when Jesus appoints us here, there is a reason. None of you were forced to join Ambassador. Even the initial group that started Ambassador, they were given a choice after we've started the church. When we went independent, 5 years after we went independent, before their names were put in the charter, every single one of them have to make a prayerful decision: am I going to continue Ambassador or go back to MBC? Those people who are here say, "I will continue Ambassador." No one is forced to join Ambassador. You join purely of your own free will, obedience to Christ. Okay? Of course, God wants us to therefore then follow the biblical guidance with regards to loyalty to the church that God has set up. Alright? And may God help us. Okay, next week we'll continue with the second part. What are some wrong motives for leaving the church? Why some loyalty to a church is wrong. Okay? And then, what is sometimes when we are challenged to leave and we are struggling, what are some of the biblical principles that can guide us in that? Okay? So, any questions? Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit will teach us that your local church is so important to you that you died for it. And Lord, we thank you for every member because they're all living members, members with life, that in their hearts, Lord, they will apply these principles to be faithful to you. Heavenly Father, thank you for what you're going to do. We ask your Holy Spirit to guide us and teach us that we might be faithful members of your local church. Father, we know also that you can direct and move people as you will, but I pray it will be clearly based on Scripture, our decision to move, so that we can still be a blessing, Lord. We'll thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.